We are getting ready to bring you the student nature reports on KAXE. Joining me now is our phenology coordinator, John Latimer, is away today. Morning, Charlie. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
All right. 17 reports today. Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. We want to remind you that funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Funds. Charlie is the producer of our phenology talkbacks. So we begin with Michelle Martin's class at Prairie Creek Community School in Northfield.
Hi, this is Theo.
And this is Andrew.
And we're from Prairie Creek Community School, way down south in Northfield, Minnesota. Both our red oaks and our white oaks have leaf out.
The crab apples are blooming.
There are daffodils in full bloom.
The mourning doves are chasing each other, possibly mating.
Aww.
We don't see any juncos this week,
but we've seen a lot of herons, and Silas saw a rookery by the river.
There are a lot of house finches and chirping sparrows.
There's a brown thrasher singing away at the top of our oak tree.
There are three baby cardinals in a nest in Michelle's yard.
We have seen a lot of painted turtles.
There are a lot of bunnies and squirrels.
At my house, you can't fall asleep until the frogs stop singing,
which means you can't fall asleep.
Jacob saw the first oriole on May 9th.
And Penelope saw the first hummingbird on May 2nd.
And Theo saw the first toad on May 2nd.
We're still on the lookout for a monarch.
This has been Prairie Creek, one more step along the phenology journey.
Great job, Prairie Creek.
Yeah.
Man, those kids are observant. It's fun they saw brown thrashers. Heidi, is that one of your favorite birds?
It
is. Am I remembering that correctly?
We've been having some outside the studios here at KAXE. We've been watching a lot of this stuff. Like, we've got baby bunnies we were watching last week.
Uh-huh.
I am not close enough. I have not heard frogs. I haven't been stopped from sleeping like the students. Yeah.
Okay. I'm hearing them, but they are unfortunately not stopping me from sleeping. I mean, fortunately for my sleep, unfortunately,
right,
because I love frogs. Yep. Great report. And herons, and they saw a rookery by the river. If you've ever been to a heron rookery, that is loud for, you know, birds that look so graceful and like quiet and serene by the river. Get them in a group and man, it's loud.
You never know what happens, right?
Right. And our next report comes from the Phenology Club at Oak Grove Elementary School in Bloomington.
Hi, this is Elton,
Charlotte, and June,
reporting from Oak Grove Elementary in Bloomington, Minnesota.
We are having unseasonably hot and sunny days. Next week, we might even hit the 90s for high temperatures.
This week, we explored our school forest. We found a bird skull at the base of a tree. We found fallen trees, mushrooms, and quite a few caterpillars. We identified poison ivy, and we think we found an assassin beetle.
He noticed everything was so green and alive. Our forest is looking healthy, and we are noticing so much growth, even compared to last week.
Next will be our final report of the school year. That's all for today. Stay tuned for the next OGE Phenology Club Nature episode.
Get yourself outside and enjoy nature.
Thank you, Oak Grove. Man, it's true. It's greening up down here so fast. I've been trying to take a picture of like kind of the same spot outside every day just to try to capture how quickly it just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it happens every year, but every year I'm so surprised.
Yeah. Isn't that the exciting? And the students, I mean, they're telling us about an assassin beetle. Is that a real thing?
Right. That's a real thing. Yeah. Huh. You can actually buy them commercially if you have, if you're doing horticulture. One of my friends raises native plants in Colorado. And in order to control aphids and other kind of bad bugs for plants, he buys a bunch of assassin beetles and other predatory insects and lets them loose in his greenhouse. And it takes care of all of the pests. But it's fun they found a wild one.
Mm-hmm.
Springtime. It is so busy. And very hot and sunny. I think we're supposed to get up to 85 today down here in mid-May.
We are up to 90 here.
Oof.
And we've got, red flag warnings as well as some air quality alerts for ozone pollution. So we're going to talk later on with Tornado Bob. And so folks can send in weather questions if they have them. You can text 218-326-1234. Thanks to our reporters, Elton, Charlotte, and June from Oak Grove Elementary School in Bloomington.
And our next report comes from Natalie Peterson's class at Justice Page Middle School in Minneapolis.
I'm Hildy.
I'm Angela.
I'm Myra.
Reporting from Miss Natalie's class at Justice Page Middle School in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Over the course of the week, students from our class have noticed lilacs blooming, lily of the valley blooming, the toads are out, and sunburns returning.
Azalea blooming, creeping Charlie blooming, and red-winged blackbirds are returning.
Owl families by Minnehaha Creek, mosquitoes and biting gnats return. Baby birds, bald eagles, and crabapple trees blooming.
Shout out to the East Twin Pond.
Thank you, kids. Hildy, Angela, and Myra. Great report. I love the smell of Lily of the Valley.
Me too.
Those are such.
I got a whiff of it just outside. I knew they bloom on the side of our house, and mm-hmm. I haven't seen them yet, but I had the window open last night and I got a whiff of them. So I was excited.
Yeah. They're one of my favorite, introduced plants. I know they can spread, but generally they kind of behave and they stay where you want them to and spread clonally. But yeah, the smell of those are just amazing. And I've got some lilacs blooming, another great, great smelling flower. And it's really fun to see the toads out again. I think especially for kids and for people like me who are adults and also kids, it's just fun to find a toad. They're great little critters. I'm interested in what baby birds they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what species. Someone that necessarily. And our next report comes from Justin Steffen's class at Linwood Elementary School in Wyoming, Minnesota.
Greetings from Mr. Steffen's fourth grade class in the Linwood School Forest. This is Asher
and Chance
reporting our observations from the week ending May 9th.
This week we observed that the leaves on the fallen part of our maple are emerging much slower than the leaves on the lower section that still have roots in the ground. The black walnut has leaves, and some green growths look like green corn cobs.
We also observed that all the flowers are gone on the back shoulder with only the leaves remaining. Our lilac trees are bursting with little closed purple flowers with a few starting to open.
A few people have noticed cotton floating in the air recently around their houses. But when we observed our cottonwood, all we saw were little green leaves that looked waxy. That tells us it's a male tree.
We also have many students reporting that they are seeing butterflies, wasps, bees, and many ticks. Someone saw a turtle in a pond.
That is all from the Linwood School Forest. And remember,
there's no place like Linwood.
Thank you, Asher, Arya, and Chance. Great report. I love the note that they are noticing a little bit of cotton floating in the air. I'm also noticing that it hasn't. Down here, we've got a lot of cottonwoods and aspen trees. It hasn't reached the stage yet where there are, drifts of that white, fluffy aspen seeds kind of littering along the side of the highway and stuff. But I'm starting to notice it, that all of our spider webs are just dusted in some of those seeds. So they look all extra fluffy. And I can't help but think, hummingbirds make their nests partially out of spider webs because it's nice, bouncy, elastic material. And so as the baby hummingbirds grow, it kind of grows with the babies. But as the hummingbirds are out collecting nesting material, I can't help but imagine that the spider webs also have all of these very fluffy, soft aspen seeds in them. And it's got to make for a great little soft bed for the baby hummingbirds.
That sounds great.
Right? This year I put out, I went and harvested some of the mature cattail seeds, you know, the little fluffy ones, and I put them next to our hummingbird feeder. And sure enough, we're seeing hummingbirds come in and take little seeds, little bunches of fluff, and fly off. So they must be making their nests.
Nice. But,
yeah. Thank you to the Linwood Elementary School kids. And our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Bjorn and Nash reporting from Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of May 11th.
This week really brought the return of several new birds. We have spotted hummingbirds, orioles, catbirds, meadowlarks, chimney swifts, and brown thrashers.
On Mother's Day, we saw a tiger swallowtail butterfly and a silvery blue butterfly.
We did get a couple of great videos this week. One was of a pair of pileated woodpeckers going through their courtship display.
We had another video from Drake of a beaver swimming and doing a big tail slap as a warning sign.
The cutest video was captured this week had to be from Emily, as she found a baby raccoon as it was curled up and sleeping.
We have seen a large number of spiders in the past week, from zebra and bold jumping spiders to six-spotted fishing spiders and grass spiders.
The woods are full of trillium, both large-flowered and nodding, and wood anemone, as well as the unique flowers of the jack in the pulpit.
Delilah found a bright green insect, which turned out to be a six-spotted tiger beetle.
There were at least two barred owls calling back and forth in the middle of the day.
The morel mushrooms are up, so if you're lucky enough to know a spot to look for them, this is the time to get out and start picking.
We did see a Harris sparrow and noticed the white-throated sparrows are still in our area.
One brand new bird for us was a golden-winged warbler. We also had sightings of a great crested flycatcher and ovenbird.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
And great report, Little Falls. Those kids are such excellent naturalists. You know, they're already identifying things like a golden-winged warbler. I struggle with all the warblers.
And they
Merlin
also,
bird ID is my friend.
They're the great, check them out on Instagram. They do some great posts there and videos like they were talking about in that report.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Little Falls Phenology with underscores to get to them. And it's true. They have a fantastic Instagram. I'll need to check to see whether those videos are up there because I'd love to see them. Another thing I noticed about their report was the trillium. This is one of my favorite springtime flowers as well. The large flowered and the nodding trillium. The large flowered trillium has the flower held up above the three leaves of the trillium, and the nodding one has its flower below those three leaves. And both trillium and jack in the pulpit are these wonderful spring flowers that I really enjoy. But both of them have three leaves and grow in the forest. And there's always a danger that they get mistaken for poison ivy. So PSA, poison ivy is going to have it's three leaves. So two of them come out right next to each other. And then there's a little stem and there's a third leaf. For both trillium and the jack in the pulpit, all three leaves emerge from the same spot. So none of them really have much of a stem. It's a whorl instead of not a whorl. I'm no John Latimer, but I try. So yes, please look carefully when you're taking out leaves of three in your forest. And our next report comes from Nate Masakovich's class at Baxter Elementary School.
Hello from Mr. Masakovich's class at Baxter Elementary School. Our names are Thomas,
Caleb,
and Gunnar.
It has been super hot this past week. We've had temperatures in the 70s and 80s, and even hit 90 degrees on Sunday. All that warmth has really pushed our plant growth.
Over the past week, our big tooth aspen leafed out on Saturday, May 10th. Red oaks leafed out on Tuesday, May 8th. And white oaks on Friday, May 9th. Red oaks are dropping their pollen everywhere. Our cars and sidewalks are painted with green dust. Lilacs leafed out on Thursday, May 8th. And Gunner has a plum tree that leafed out on Sunday, May 11th. Tulips were reported blooming on Wednesday, May 7th.
Our fox, raccoon, and coyotes are very active on our trail cams. On Tuesday, Elena saw a black bear with two cubs, and Bryson saw a fox in his yard.
Gunnar reported a June bug and a pseudo scorpion, and Elsie saw an iridescent green bug that we think is a six-spotted tiger beetle or a green June bug.
Elsie reported our first hummingbird seen on Friday, May 9th, which is average for us. We've heard they've arrived earlier, but haven't seen one yet. Dewey saw a saw-wet owl, and Mr. Masakovic has had barred owls singing to each other across his neighborhood.
So this concludes the phonology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Caleb, Gunnar, and Thomas. Great report. I wanted to call attention to the fact that they can identify between a red oak and a white oak. Again, amazing. I wish I had half these skills at their age because I would be such an incredible naturalist by now. But that's okay. We can learn later in life too. One way to tell the difference between red and white oaks, that's the two major types of oaks we have in our area, is that red oak leaves will always be a little bit pointy at the end, as if, like, if you stuck your finger on the end, you might bleed. Blood is red. Red oaks. White oaks will always have curved edges to the lobes, so you can't really cut yourself on those ones. So white oaks have those curved tips of the leaves, and red oaks are pointy. Handy tip. And our next report comes from Leona Sitchi's class at Roots and Wings Forest School in New York Mills.
This is Otto.
This is Theodore.
This is Rose.
This is Hank.
This is Solomon.
This is Troy reporting from Roots and Wings Forest School. The water was very warm. I stepped in this really dark brown spot in the water, and my foot sunk like almost to the bottom. I really liked to go cannonballing.
We saw two frogs today, and I caught one under the bridge at Wax Cove, the wooden bridge. We put them back in the water.
And what did they do?
They swam away. I was trying to catch the one I caught.
I heard weird birds that sound like chickens in the forest.
The water was getting really warm. The air was 90 degrees. It was really windy.
Outside in our classroom, we found a gardener snake. His belly was really big because there was something in his belly he ate. And it was really fast, and it bit Hank. We saw some early blue violets.
I picked up a lot of rocks.
Thanks for listening! Stay wild!
Stay wild. Thank you, Otto, Theodore, Rose, Hank, Soren, Trent, all the kids at Roots and Wings Forest School. Man, I wish I could air the entire cut of, you know, the full report, with mistakes included, of Roots and Wings Forest School, because it is some glorious chaos. Those kids are having such a great time. I love their note that outside in our classroom. That is such a wonderful phrase for me. They do have an outdoor classroom. They spend a lot of their time outside. And there's, I can give you a sneak peek into the full report. There was some controversy over whether Hank actually got bit by the garter snake. Some discussion around there.
Sure. Oh my gosh. Did you have any ideas on the weird bird that sounded like chickens in the forest?
I do not have any ideas on that
okay,
one.
So probably,
I was pondering.
Yeah, probably Pam Perry's listening now. So Pam, we're going to ask you that when you join us in about an hour when we talk more about birds.
Yeah, and I know we've got a lot of great ornithologist listeners, so text in. And our next report comes from Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
Hi, this is Claire from Saints Peter and Paul in Richmond. During our trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on May 5th and 6th, we had glorious summer-like weather with the first 80-degree temperature since September 27th, 2004. During our sunset canoe trip, we saw the season's first snapping turtle, common loons, and the dead trumpeter swan on the lake. Marsh marigolds are blooming, and we saw lots of white flowers in the forest. We also saw a garter snake in the woods, red-bellied woodpeckers, deer, and red squirrels. Spring is a perfect time to explore nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, check for ticks,
and live connected.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Longleg. I love that they saw the season's first snapping turtle. Those are some glorious prehistoric looking critters. I did check the Little Falls Phenology Instagram, mm-hmm. and they did put up those videos, including a snapping turtle.
Oh, good.
Big one.
Wow.
A beaver slapping its tail, and a young raccoon just snoozing away. So do check out their Instagram. And Long Lake also puts videos of all of these reports on their Facebook page. So if you want to see the students, you can always go there. Our next report also comes from Long Lake Conservation Center. This is a different group.
Hi, this is Roland.
And Alyssa from Battle Lake Elementary.
And Wesley.
And Soren from Good Shepherd Catholic School in Golden Valley. During our trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on May 5th, through the 7th, we experienced the first 70 and 80 degree temperatures of the season. We witnessed a squirrel tussle at the feeder between a gray squirrel and a red squirrel.
The gray squirrel chased the red squirrel off, but red did not give up. He snuck behind gray and either pulled the hair off his tail or bit his tail, launching gray off the feeder. Red was the winner birdseed dinner.
All the trees and buttering grow their leaves for the summer. We also saw fiddleheads of many different kinds of ferns and beautiful yellow marsh marigolds. Service berry trees are in bloom, and we found purple hepatica flowers in the grass. One of the highlights was seeing the beavers in the lake, as well as both snapping and painted turtles.
In the woods, the vernal ponds were teeming with mosquito larvae, foreshadowing a ferocious mosquito season. We also saw a pair of common loons fishing near the beach and a handful of garter snakes. It was a great week in nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and
live connected.
Thank you, Roland, Alyssa, Wesley, Soren. Great report. I love the note about the tussle between the gray squirrel and the red squirrel.
Yeah.
Red squirrels are small but feisty. I have rarely seen a red squirrel lose in a duel between it and the much larger gray squirrel. But always fun to watch. They got to see some beavers in the lake, as well as both snapping and painted turtles. Last time I was at Long Lake, which is 2 weekends ago now, I was delighted to see I got three lifetime firsts while I was there.
Ooh.
I saw and heard an American bittern doing its glug-glunk, glug-glunk call.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to hear an American woodcock in the wild. And I heard my first pickerel frog.
Wow. So,
great visit to Long Lake.
And speaking of camps, you know, often, you know, we're winding down the school year, so we'll have less student input. But this summer, thanks to your hard work and connections, we will be hearing from some summer camps and more kids. So stay tuned.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's all thanks to the Minnesota Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund. Our current grant cycle, we are focusing on boosting up some of our summer reports. So looking for summer camps. We have some great reporters who are visiting the area over the summer with their grandparents. So if you are up here over the summer and you want to send in what you're seeing, we would love to hear from you. Please do. And like us with our 17 reports, Long Lake is also very busy in the spring season. And so here is one more report from Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
Hi, this is Elena,
Ava,
and Trinity from Minnewaska Area Elementary in Glenwood. During our trip to Long Lake Conservation Camp on May 7th through the 9th, we experienced near perfect spring weather with a high temperature of 70 and a low of 30. It was a good week for bird watching. Our group saw goldfinches, male and female house finches, Nashville warblers, blue-winged teals, and red-headed woodpeckers. The saga of the dead trumpeter swan and its grieving mate continues. Surprisingly, no scavengers have claimed the body of the dead swan. After more than a week and a half, the grieving mate still spends a good part of the day near the body. The other swans on the lake have come to visit, having a swan intervention. Perhaps we are curious how long the grieving swan will remain by its dead mate.
The two resident common loons are still seen fishing together. This means they are either not yet on the nest, or they are both males and Long Lake is a bachelor lake again this year.
In other sightings, our group observed a beaver, muskrat, otters, painted and snapping turtles, a tussock moth caterpillar, chipmunks, gophers, red and gray squirrels, and gray tree frogs sunning themselves in a tree. The grass is turning green and flowers are blooming, including marsh marigolds, wood anemones, hairy woodrush, and service berries. The lake level is at a relatively low 1.66 feet at Long Lake's DNR depth gauge.
It was a great week in nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside,
and live connected.
Thank you, Elena, Ava, Trinity. Great report. And I am really enjoying listening to the saga of this trumpeter swan pair, one of which died mysteriously. Last week we heard about the murder of this trumpeter swan. Potentially, we don't know. No one's been convicted.
Alleged, yes.
alleged murder, suspicious circumstances. And I've been very much enjoying listening to that saga. Dave McMillan, who's the leader over there at Long Lake, sent me an update on that situation this week. And because he knows me well, he sent me two versions. One is the anthropomorphic version, and the other one is the non-anthropomorphized version. So he said, this first is the anthropomorphized version. On Sunday evening, there was a swan intervention. The other four swans on the lake paid a visit to the grieving swan, clearly saying it was time to move on. The swan didn't like that and abruptly chased them all away. An hour or so later, they returned and were greeted with more kindness and hesitant, reluctant acceptance. The grieving swan wasn't ready and decided to remain by its lost mate. On Monday, the lake's other swans returned again and apparently made a convincing argument that the period of grieving should be over. The heartbroken swan left its mate's side, but has been back a time or two since then, but only for quick visits. It is now spending its time on the east side of Long Lake with his group of supportive swan friends. And then the other version says, the surviving swan, once it determined that its mate was no longer a viable reproductive partner and propelled by its base instincts and urges, left in search of another swan to make cygnets. So far, it has made it to the other end of the lake.
Thank you, Dave,
for that one. I can get on my anthropomorphizing soapbox at another time, but okay. I do have strong feelings about it.
All right.
Our next report comes from Sarah Wilson's class at Heartland Lakes Community School in Park Rapids.
I'm Jameson.
I'm Zach.
I'm Blaze.
I'm Oliver.
I'm Zendaya.
We are reporting from the Heartland Lakes Community School in Park Rapids, Minnesota.
Today, our whole school visits Dean Park.
You will hear from each crew.
Our crew did sit spots, whittled, and made basswood bark cordage.
We noticed a big tick.
A male mallard duck flying.
A leaf that looked like a dinosaur.
My name is Lily.
My name is Ainsley.
My name is Ryan.
My name is Hadley.
My name is Teddy.
We're the first grade crew.
We went on a boardwalk.
We saw a robin.
And a red-winged blackbird.
And a mallard duck.
And a grackle.
My name is Josie.
My name is Macy.
My name is Charles.
We're the kinder crew.
We went on a tree walk.
We saw a beech tree.
We saw a red pine.
We saw a white pine.
We saw a bur oak.
And a cedar.
My name is Avery.
This is Olivia.
This is Quinlan.
We're the 2-3 crew.
We saw tadpoles sitting in cups.
And the tadpoles, some were a lazy potato and some were flapping like a fishy fish.
We found some northern leopards in the swamp.
Thank you, Heartland Lake students. Great report. I love the lazy potato and the flopping like a fishy fish. Tadpoles like us have differing energy levels. I assume that the northern leopard they found in the swamp was in fact a frog, not actually a large cat. but we can find out. Great reports. I love hearing from all the different crews. And I like that they're doing crafts with some of our native plants. The basswood tree does make some, it has this really interesting inner bark that comes in very thin, very strong. Well, that's very thin and very strong. And you can, in fact, twist it up and make really strong fibers from it. I did a little experiment in that myself over the weekend. And our next report comes from Lee Jackson and Darcy Rolfe's class at North Shore Community School near Duluth.
Hello, from North Shore Community School on the north shore of Lake Superior. My name is Noah, and I am your phrenologist for this week. Marcus has noticed lots of turkeys on the side of the road on the bus ride to Two Harbors. On Tuesday morning, May 6th, Miss Urban saw barn swallows on her bike to work. Also on Tuesday, Miss Jackson spotted her oriole at her bird feeder. Two hummingbirds were also spotted in Two Harbors on Tuesday. On Wednesday, May 7th, Mrs. Rolfe's class spotted a red-shouldered hawk soaring over the school. Also on Tuesday, Lucas observed a dragonfly outside of Miss Amber's room. Miss Urban heard spring peepers peeping as she biked past a wetland on her bike home from work on Tuesday, May 7th. On Monday, May 5th, several students saw that the school playground has its first batch of dandelions. On Tuesday, May 6th, the preschoolers noticed that wild leeks or ramps growing in the school forest. They also noticed lots of green growth starting in the forest and that the stream was lower than it was last week. Also, on this bloom, some marsh marigolds spotted last week now have yellow flowers starting to bloom. This concludes the phenology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Noah. Thank you, North Shore Community School. You guys always have great reports. This week, since we had so many reports, I had to trim some of them to about a minute and 30 seconds. So we had reports in a lot of detail. But I like their notes about hearing the frogs. We've got a lot of frogs starting to call. I'm starting to hear the first of the tree frogs down here, and they're hearing spring peepers, which do a peep, peep, peep. Great name. And probably chorus frogs, which are the ones that sound a little bit like you're drawing your finger along the teeth of a comb. It's a brr, brr. So thank you to them.
Charlie Mitchell sitting in today for John Latimer. Who do we have up next?
Our next one is coming straight from Grand Rapids from Colin Cody's class at East Rapids Elementary.
Hello, my name is Lauren. This is our phenology report from Mr. Cody's third grade classroom at East Rapids Elementary. May 6th was sunnier and warmer than 2025 and 2023. Both the red and silver maple were done flowering and had leaf burst. Several willows had also had leaf burst. The box elder was in flower and the buckthorn had a leaf out. Our paper birch had bud burst as well as the oaks. We saw tons of life. First was the spring azure butterfly. Next was Mr. Latimer's first killdeer of the season. We also saw a couple red-winged blackbirds and a few other songbirds. Lastly, we saw a green Donner dragonfly and heard chorus friends. At home, I saw two robins claiming territory. Enjoy the outdoors.
Thank you. Great report there from Lauren from Grand Rapids. And I got the opportunity to visit that class late April, 3 weeks ago-ish, with Mr. Latimer. And we had a great time. They have this wonderful little school forest and grounds that we got to explore, including a pond with some frogs. I like that they saw John's first killdeer of the season. Those ones, the name that comes from their call, which sounds like killdeer. Wait, killdeer? It sounds like killdeer. And a green darner dragonfly and a spring azure butterfly. I did not realize until I learned from John that the spring azure butterfly is the first one to emerge from a chrysalis in the spring. They are not migratory. And you only get to see them for about a week or so in the springtime. So great to see those ones. Our next report is from a new class, so Jeff Johnson's class at Cohasset Elementary School.
Hi, this is Alexa Nyonoandiza reporting from Mr. Johnson's classroom in Cohasset on May 9th, 2025.
For the weather, warm and sunny. Honeysuckles, full leaf out, and box elderberry. We saw a hummingbird, blue jay, and oriole. Do you like to learn about nature? We sure do.
This has been Naya, Alexa, Noah, and Diesel reporting from Mr. Johnson's class in Cohasset. April showers bring May flowers.
Thank you. Great report. I also like to learn about nature. Thank you. The part that I pulled out of this one is about honeysuckles. We have a lot of different honeysuckles in Minnesota. Some are native, some are non-native. And the non-native ones grow to be these pretty large shrubs, and they can shade out a lot of our native wildflowers like Jack in the Pulpits and Hepatica and our bloodroot, you know, ones we all love in the springtime. And an easy way to tell the difference between a native honeysuckle and a non-native one is if you clip off one of the twigs, the non-native honeysuckles will have a hollow stem, and our native ones will be solid. The non-native ones are a little bit brownish on the inside, and the native ones are white all the way through. The other thing you can look for is just kind of their size. Our native honeysuckles tend to be more vining and are quite small. They'll grow up other plants, and the non-native ones will be full, hardy shrubs kind of on their own. So keep an eye out for those. Our next report comes from Allie Ofterheide's class at Cherry School near Iron Junction.
Hi, this is
Saley,
Scarlett,
Ellie,
Nova,
reporting from Cherry School in Iron Junction, Minnesota on May 12, 2025. We have been noticing that the weather has gotten much warmer. The grass and the trees are getting noticeably greener every day and the bugs are out.
On April 29th, Annalise saw a mallard duck, robins, an eagle, a red-winged blackbird, and a turkey vulture in Lavelle Township. On May 5th, Harley and her mom and sisters saw two sandhill cranes near Hibbing. On May 7th, Honey saw a lot of frog eggs in her pond near Hibbing. On April 25th, Tyler heard wood frogs in the woods near Cherry.
We have been tracking bud bursts on some trees in the bushes in the school forest. Some changes we have noticed this week are that there's bud bursts and catkins turning more green on the American hazelnut. On the paper birch, it looks like a twig getting skinnier. On the tamarack tree, the needles started to come out.
Today, during our walk in the school forest, we noticed two merlins up in the treetop. We saw a merlin in the same spot 2 weeks ago. We wonder if it has a nest in our school forest. This concludes our phenology report.
Nature rules!
Thank you, Saley, Scarlett, Ellie, Nova. Great report. I love that you're keeping an eye on those merlins. I've been noticing another small predatory hawk that eats a lot of songbirds. I'm not sure if it's a Cooper's or a sharp-shinned hawk. I'm working on it. I'm not John Latimer yet. But it likes to come by our feeder, unfortunately, and pick off our beloved chickadees and woodpeckers and such. But I always notice it come in and to our feeder and then fly off to the same branch almost every time to eat if it manages to catch what it was going for. So I wonder if the merlins that they're seeing in that same spot, whether that's a nesting spot or a favorite snacking spot for those merlins. And maybe there's a little bit of courtship with one merlin feeding the other. So thank you to those kids. And our next report comes from Lindsay Engel's class at North Star Elementary School in Virginia.
This is Brody,
Peyton,
Autumn,
Dallas,
Jake,
Bella,
and Elena,
with a report from North Star Elementary on May 12th, 2025.
Everyone, this is Dallas. It sure is greening up outside.
in the great outdoors. Our high temperature last Thursday was 63 degrees Fahrenheit. On Sunday, May 11th, we got up to 86.
This is Autumn. On May 7th, we noticed the trembling aspens on our playground had leafed out. The leaves come out in really cool clusters and leaves spread out as they grow bigger.
Brody here. We are also noticing some growth on the needles of our tamarack trees. Needles are about 1 centimeter long now, and the clusters of needles are still tightly packed together in spur shoots.
This is Peyton. The silver maples across the street from our school also leafed out around May 7th.
This is Jake. Our red maples leafed out on Friday, May 9th. The apple trees in my yard have also leafed out.
This is Belle. Today, Mrs. Engel showed us how to use a Seski disc to take a water clarity reading on Silver Lake. We estimated we could see 13 feet 4 inches down. We also took a temperature reading and found out that the lake is currently 58 degrees Fahrenheit near the boardwalk out in front of Northern State Bank.
This is Elena. I noticed some robins are collecting dead plant matter from my garden and flying off with it. They must be starting to build their nests.
This has been a report from North Star Elementary in Virginia.
Keep exploring the great outdoors!
Thank you, North Star. Great report. Dallas, Autumn, Brody, Peyton, Jake, Bella, and Elena. Quite the crew. A lot of good stuff there. The tamarack trees, needles are about a centimeter long. Look at them using quantitative measurements. Love it. And noticing the robins collecting dead plant matter. If you want to leave out nesting materials for birds, that's always a great thing to do. But generally speaking, don't leave out dryer lint. It tends to still have a lot of the soap, detergent that you use in your laundry machine, and that's not great for the birds. Instead, go out and you can harvest thistle seeds or cattail seeds and leave those out for the birds, and that will be a great soft little warm spot for young birds to grow up. And our last report this morning, can you believe it, is from Emma Adams's class at Great Expectations School in Grand Marais.
Hi, this is Dr. Ella Felix Franny and Giddy reporting from Great Expectations School in Grand Marais, Minnesota on Friday. We have a few ice out reports from local lakes. Lake Agnes, May 3rd, Brule Lake, May 6th, Devil Track Lake, May 3rd, Gunflint Lake, May 7th, Sag and Siegel still have a bit of ice, but the lakes are ready for fish open this weekend.
The first loon was reported on April 27th. The woodcocks were getting very loud, and a community member sent a picture of a clutch of their eggs.
The spring peepers were first reported on April 28th. May 2nd, the first dragonflies, bees, and butterfly was reported.
Our otters costed a worm study and found no worms in our backwoods, but a few in our front woods. Did you know that earthworms are invasive species in Cook County?
Lots and lots of plants are popping up. Dandelions leaves are in many places, and on intervals spaced across the street from the stew, right now the leaves are really small.
This has been Dax, Ella, Felix, Frenny, and Giddy, reporting from Great Expectations School, where you expect a great phenology report.
And as always, Great Expectations is living up to our expectations. Dax, Ella, Felix, Frenny, and Giddy, great report. I think it's so interesting, you know, where I live in near Stillwater, Minnesota, is almost a full month earlier in its phenology from these folks up in Grand Marais. I saw my first tree swallow on, let's see here, March 27th, and they're seeing their first one this past week. That's a pretty considerable gap between the two of us. Great report. They did a worm study, found no worms in their backwoods, but a few in their front woods. And it's true that earthworms are invasive in Minnesota. They are, of course, great for fishing, and so they've been distributed throughout North America by fishermen. But the earthworms are really great at breaking down leaf matter and converting that to soil. And so you can actually see a line where the earthworms are moving northward, where north of where the earthworms are present, the leaf duff is much, much deeper than where earthworms are present. So they're really changing the structure and biology of our forests. So great report there, 17 reports for the morning. I know that some of our schools are having their last phenology day today. Oak Grove Elementary School, today is their last day. A couple other folks said that they'd be getting in reports for next week, and then that'll be it for the school year. So way to finish with a strong showing.
Yeah, no kidding.